Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hello and welcome to Mind Your Loaf, a podcast about taking action on our mental health. I'm here at my co-host Mar.
Hi everybody.
Brilliant. And the team at Irish Mental Health Charity TurnToMe.ie, who besides helping us with this podcast, provide professional mental health support online free to everyone in Ireland. Okay, so today's topic of today's, you know, episode is going to be on anxiety.
Yeah.
Okay. And you know, that's something, I mean, because again, with this podcast, what I thought I'd do is like stuff that I suffer from quite a lot. And then people are going, but you're a stand-up, you couldn't suffer from anxiety. But I don't really suffer from anxiety on stage.
Yeah.
I suffer from in other areas. Do you know what I mean? So I was late coming here now. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? And so, actually, and so my stress levels go up. You can probably, you can nearly hear it in me.
Yeah, you're speaking quite fast.
Even this annoyed me, listen.
Which is supposed to be very soothing.
Yeah, so.
A cup of tea.
Even the smallest thing right now would set me off.
Right. So what happened today? Why are you
So I was. I don't like being late.
Yeah.
Right. And a lot of people like listening are going to be going, yeah, they like. I assume loads of people get anxiety today.
You know. I think so.
Is it different levels?
I think yeah. I think we all have a we need anxiety, don't we, to keep safe? Like, I'm sure it's a.
I'd rather not have it at all.
Well, then you would know that you have to get out of Dodge when you're in Dodge. You know.
Okay.
So it has a function, but. Say today, did you need to be as anxious as you got today?
Oh no, I do that to myself.
Yeah,
so. I'm sure people must do that as well. Like, so, like I was late getting here, and what I do with my head is I play out everybody here waiting for me.
Like, okay, so you're forecasting.
So yeah. Oh, is that what it is?
Well, you're going into the future, aren't you?
Oh, I live there all day.
Okay.
So like basically, I was in the car, and then I was thinking, okay, you were here, and you were like, going, oh my god, where is he? I mean, I'm on time. Why wasn't he on time? You know, and John's here, and everybody else, and they're all already just sitting here, just tapping their fingers on the table, and I'm thinking, oh my god, if I was there right now, all these people wouldn't be stressed.
Okay, so you are
now
the Messiah.
Taking their stress as well.
So you're now blaming yourself for the stress you're imagining us having because you're not here.
Yeah.
Okay. While driving the car.
Yeah, while
so
driving the car.
So not being in the present moment.
And also the cars annoy me as well.
Okay,
because
of course
like the traffic
is.
And I need to just go over there, but I can't get over there because I have to park the car.
Yeah.
So it's like, and then the breathing goes all over the cabin.
Yeah. What happens to your breathing?
Well, that gets shorter, doesn't it? So then I get lightheaded. So then I think I'm sick. Then I think there's something wrong with me.
Then the hypochondriac kicks in. Right.
So,
so that was a really rough afternoon.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, and then, but then I don't know, I'm sure, again, at night it can come quite a lot.
Yeah, I find that as well. What happens to you?
Okay, so at night when I go asleep then, you know when people go, oh, you need to close your eyes and clear your head before you meditate and stuff, which we'll do again. But when I close my eyes at night, that's like open the floodgates. So all day I'm stopping stuff. So
what do you mean you're stopping stuff?
My anxiety in the day is stuff that is like, you know, oh my God, I'm going to be late. Okay, I got to get here for the kids. Oh my God, don't forget that bit. Like today I had to record 6 different ads for like Australia and for Ireland and for England for stand-up. And I had to get them all done and check some direct debits and everything. But it's all in my head. It's all a big mush in my head. So, but when I go asleep, it gets way worse when I lie down.
So when you're kind of shutting down for the evening.
But I don't know what does that mean?
It kind of means everything's going quiet.
No,
I'm just gonna
worse.
Breathe deeply.
Breathing worse.
Close your eyes.
Floodgates.
I feel like we're doing an operatic duet or a musical. Floodgates.
I swear to God. It's like, you know, I've seen people go to sleep and I can see the birds flying around their heads.
Like a Disney movie.
And I know people who go, no, I can just switch off and just tell everything to go away.
Yeah.
I just, I go, and it goes, here we come.
Right.
And I am awake like all night walking around trying to go to sleep. So then I get, so I don't think I'm an insomniac, but I actually.
And does this happen every night or does this happen only sometimes?
Most nights.
Most nights.
Yeah, would be most nights. But then again, don't other people, I mean, most people, I assume when they go, when they close their eyes, that they get anxious. Do you know what I mean? Because surely the brain is then, because you know what it is?
You've no distractions, you say.
Exactly. Yeah. I often say, yeah, like, you know, if something bad happens to you, like, you know, a death in a family or something like that, which we experienced recently, is if you keep yourself busy,
yeah,
you don't really think about it.
Yeah.
So when I'm not busy, oh my God.
Yeah.
Like literally.
And it's kind of like a vicious cycle or circle, isn't it? Because the busier you are, the faster you're going, you're trying to distract yourself away from feeling your grief or whatever it is, but you are actually creating more stress, which can lead to more anxiety because you've less time.
Yeah,
to do everything.
And I also think that makes people feel better is that, you know, when you hear loads of other people saying the same thing, you know, I always think I'm the only person that has anxiety.
So when you hear,
I can't even spell it. I don't know why they spelled it like that. Because I definitely
it's
have.
It's very anxiety provoking.
I have slight dyslexia, or as PJ Gallagher said, you're just tick, right? But I definitely do. I cannot spell anxiety. I keep on putting it down as AXI. All I hear is AX. And then the word anxiety gets me anxious.
I know. But it would.
Why isn't it called, I don't know, smoothie bumps or something? That'd be much easier to do.
That would make other people anxious, I think.
So there's different levels of anxiety, because there's obviously people with loads of different levels. Is it called Anton? Is there different levels? What do you do?
Okay, let's all deep breathing, okay, right. Jason. Let's just calm down. Okay? And breathe. I would say, like we were saying in the last episode, you know, shit is subjective. I'd say anxiety is subjective. So what makes you anxious might make me anxious. Do you know the kind of way?
Yeah.
But I think it all depends on how we are thinking about the situation that we're in.
Okay.
Do you know? Mm-hmm. So say, for example, today you're stuck in traffic. You're a little bit late, but you are gone straight into the future. So you're forecasting, you're mind reading, you're imagining that what we're all thinking. And there's actually these things called cognitive distortions. I don't know if you've heard of them.
What's that?
And they're these kind of like habitual thought patterns that we have. So we kind of go straight into, so we can catastrophize. So we imagine the worst case scenario all the time, or we focus on the negative of everything. So if you get good feedback and bad feedback, you'll only hear the bad feedback. You know, these type of things.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a list of them and we all do them. So when you're asking, are there different types of anxiety? I think depending on how we are relating to the situation, how we're thinking about the situation will impact on how we feel in that situation. Do you know?
Yeah, and I think anxiety is like a snowball, like going down a hill.
Yeah, it can be.
Like literally by the end of a day, I've just created so much hoo-ha from the last hoo-ha. It's like a domino effect. It just goes...
It is.
Like, see,
and the thing about it is it's to try and interrupt, because it's just habitual thinking, isn't it? It's just a habit.
Yeah.
And you don't even know you're doing it. But if you can intercept it and say, hang on a second.
So in the car, I could have put on Lyric FM.
You could have said, hang on. Okay, I'm here now. I can't be there. They're fine. They know me. They know I'm going to be late. I've done all I can do. Just get there now. Mm. What would that have been like?
That's just not me.
Yeah.
No, I'd love that though. See, that's the thing. That's what I'm doing now, because since I went to therapy.
Yeah.
So they don't change you. I don't, like, as a human really. It's just a different way of thinking.
Exactly.
That's all I'm...
That's exactly.
So I am doing well with that.
Yeah.
I used to be like the
worst. When you say that's just me, could you actually say that's just how I was thinking, or that's just how I am thinking? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. But I've always been an angsty type dude.
Yeah.
I've got loads of energy, you see, and I always want to get stuff done. And I do like, and some dude actually said to me, he goes, you might have ADHD, he said to me, which is not a very good diagnosis. And he's not a doctor.
So it might be an accurate diagnosis.
No, I don't think. You're me going, I think you've got ADHD. And me going, oh my God. But I do like to have everything in its row, ducks in a row and everything. Yeah. And I'm always on time. I'm nearly always on time.
We'll say nothing about today.
I know, apart from today.
Oh, yes, true.
And so... I can get anxious when I don't have control of a day.
Yeah.
That's where it seems to happen.
Yeah. So that's about a safety. You'd say, I learned in my therapy that like it's a safety thing. So if you like to be in control because you like to be safe, if you're not in control, you don't feel safe. Do you know the kind of way? So you're...
No.
Does that...
Is that because I don't trust anybody else
maybe
to run my life?
Yeah.
And I go, no.
So we don't have trust because underneath that, at some level, we don't feel safe.
Yeah. And if somebody is like late for picking up a child at school and they're 5 minutes late, they wander in and the kids probably just stand at the door and they get them. But as I'm driving there, the place has gone on fire. Yeah. Terrorists have landed in helicopters. The kids have been all taken. There's like machine guns going everywhere. And my child's dead
so
in the ground.
So it's Die Hard 17.
Oh, I'm unbelievable. Yeah. Oh yeah, when I seen Die Hard, I went, easy. I could crawl two
but
beds
Jason,
in the
can
best.
You see that that's
That'll
what
be
you're
a
doing.
Calm day.
That would be a calm day. Mm. Because you're expecting this to happen. You're catastrophizing.
Yeah.
So that's a habit.
Okay, well,
I'll
get out
of that.
It's just a
thought, and you can change your thoughts, Jason.
So anyway, we're talking about anxiety here. And I mean, you're very good at calming me down a little bit, but we're going to talk to a man who also suffers from high anxiety.
Yeah, so tell us about Gavin.
Yeah, good old Gavin Oates. He's the author of, co-author of the book Shine, and he's got a new book called Life Will See You Now. And he's a keynote speaker and he's fantastic and he's Scottish and he's an ex-comic and everything and he's still a comic. And so we're going to talk to him now in 2 minutes.
Great. Maybe he can help you and me.
Maybe he's going to make it worse. So on the line we've got Gavin Oates. Say hello to Marion over there, Gavin.
Hey, Gavin, how are you?
Marion, how are you?
And Gavin, Gavin is an author. He's got a brand new book because he's really cool and he's Scottish. And it's called Life Will See You Now. He's also got a keynote speaker job. He's a comedy sketch stuff and everything.
Oh,
he's done
cool.
all that kind of stuff as well. Co-author of Shining. He has a company called Tree of Knowledge. Gavin, how's it going?
Yeah, really good. Thank you so much for inviting me on. I'm excited.
Yeah, this show is called Jason Byrne, Mind Your Loaf. And I'm trying to do a kind of a mental health kind of well-being chit-chat show. And I've no idea what I'm talking about. So Marion's over there keeping an eye on me. And I bring people on like you as well. And this
Brilliant.
This is your first time you've worked on your own with this Life Will See You Now. Is that right?
Yeah, this is definitely, it's actually one of the first things I've ever done on my own. Everything I've ever been a part of has been a part of a team. So when I've been involved with comedy, it's always been a sketch group. You know, when I run the business, there's a team. Writing previous books has always been with Andy Cope. And this is just me and my own. So I'm excited. I'm nervous. I'm a wee boy at Christmas. And I'm keen to see how it goes.
Look, I hate when people sometimes ask me, what's my show about, right? And I go, I don't know, it's funny, it's just about comedy. And like, your book is kind of about all sorts of life experiences, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things where I had no idea what I was going to write. And somebody described it recently as a big love-hate letter to myself, which I'm not sure if it is or isn't, but actually that fits quite nicely. I've kind of just poured my heart out onto the page. I just went for it, and you know, I'm hoping that this book is like, you know, when you're like 15 and you find an album that changes your life, and there's tracks on there that really mean something to you. I hope it's one of those books that people take with them.
Yeah, I mean, look, you're dead right. It is like an album, because I could sit there just going, oh my god, I want to go to that bit, and now that bit, that looks good, that looks really good. But there's so much stuff in it. I mean, we're basically talking about like anxiety in this episode, right, Gav? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I find when I read your book there's a lot of that going on in the book. Do you know what I mean? A lot of angsty stuff.
Yeah.
Like, would you agree with that? Would you suffer from that? Like, is that something that, because you've been on stage a lot, like I have with the sketch comedy, and you're a keynote speaker as well. And is that something that you suffer from?
Very much so. It's really interesting because I've written stuff in the new book that actually I've never written about before. There's stuff in there that some people who are actually very close to me are going to read, and it's going to come as a surprise because I've managed to perform my way through life without letting on that actually I lie awake at night with my brain going absolutely crazy. I make myself ill at times with worry and fear and all sorts of. So there's one particular chapter in this book called Confidently Lost, where I'm actually a little bit anxious about people reading it. but my feeling was that if I write about this and there's even one person out there who benefits, then I'm doing the right thing. So yeah, it's something that I experienced as a child. And I thought I experienced it pretty badly, but over this last couple of years, if I'm being really honest, I've experienced it on a level that I didn't think was possible. And my goodness me, is it scary?
Yeah. And actually, Gavin, I just what you were saying earlier, that you really wanted to pour your heart into the book, and I could hear it almost beating while I was reading the book. And one part that really kind of resonated with me, you talked about when you were 5 years old and, you know, pre-five being this kid full of excitement and you always wanted to be on stage and you wanted to be a mouse in the school play.
Yeah.
Do you remember that part?
I do. Yeah. I do.
And I picked out a line, Gavin, that just really stuck with me. It's like, I wanted to be a mouse more than anything in the world, but something deep inside me was stopping me. And that really hit home with me as well. I think a lot of us will relate to that. Do you want to talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah. And, you know, it's really interesting because I've never heard anyone else read that back to me before. And just as you're reading that right now, I can actually... I don't know if this sounds a bit dramatic. I can actually remember sitting in the classroom feeling the way I felt. So I basically, it was my first few days of primary school, so 5 years of age. One of my favourite things in the world was pantomime. Still to this day, one of my favourite things is pantomime.
You're so cool, Gavin.
Say again?
I said, you're so cool.
Do you know, I thought you said that and I thought, nah, she wouldn't do that.
Yeah, she definitely said that.
Sorry, Gavin.
I love it. I genuinely love it. I love the silliness of it all. And so I was in school. The head teacher, who was called Miss Smart, a great name for a head
Miss
teacher.
Smart.
She announced to everybody that we were going to put on a pantomime, and I couldn't believe what I was hearing. And, you know, in my mind, in that moment, I was sitting in the audience with my mum and dad, with my brother, my grandparents, eating ice cream, watching a pantomime, and I got the most extraordinary rush of excitement, probably on a level of adrenaline that I had never experienced before at that age, and I liked it. And then she said, we're doing Jack and the Beanstalk, and we need five of you to be mice who are going to run on and steal food from the giant and run off again, and it's going to be really funny, and the audience will love it, and the giant will chase you. And of course, I can see all this playing out, and I gained this level of excitement, and adrenaline was building and building and building. And then right in that moment, she said, so hands up, who wants to be a mouse? And my hand shot up, and she came to me first and said, Gavin Oates, do you want to be a mouse? Your hand was up first. And straight away, in my head, it was like a camera swung around 180 degrees, and now I was on the stage. And instead of being able to see the performance, I could see the audience. And all of a sudden, I had a wave of what I now know as anxiety. I had no idea what I was feeling at the time, but this feeling of such fear that it was so intense, I didn't like it. And I just made up some story that I just wanted to go to the toilet. And I ran off to the toilet.
Oh, no.
And I cried and cried and cried. Aww. And still to this day, I regret not being a mouse. But that was the first moment where I had a feeling in my chest that I'd never had before, which now, at 40 years old, I now understand is anxiety.
So when you get anxiety now, Gavin, is that kind of those kind of stories, do they kind of resonate in your head? Is that same day? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do you reckon, you know, when you get anxiety, do you go, oh my God, that must have been when I wanted to be a mouse. Oh my God, that must be coming from when I want to be a mouse. And you just kept carrying it on your shoulders.
Do you know, that's an interesting question. I think that's been a recent thing for me that I've started to, and it was because of writing the book. It's made me go back and it's made me think about what's triggered this and where it's come from. And again, there's another bit I mentioned in the book where, do you remember the Lockerbie air disaster?
Yeah.
So I'm from the southwest of Scotland, and when that started appearing on the news, I was about 10. And of course, Lockerbie's just down the coast from where I'm from. And all of a sudden, I'm sitting at 10 years of age, watching a small Scottish village down the road from me on the news with a plane lying all over it. People crying, talking about how their children have died. And from that moment, I couldn't get on a plane. I hadn't ever thought about this until I wrote this book. And since writing it, to go back to your original question, I am now finding myself going, I know where that's come from. I can track that back. That's come from this. So it's been really interesting. It's also been incredibly cathartic writing this book.
I can imagine.
But it's certainly brought it's brought some stuff up that I had never thought about. So it's really interesting.
So your intention was to write it and then hope that somebody else can go, oh my God, that's me. I'm like that. That's me. I mean, is that what you're doing? Do you know what I mean? When you write a book like this? I know you. Oh, I mean, we all write books for our own selfish reasons, but we don't make any money on them. Everybody, that's listening.
No, they're fun to write,
and as you say, yeah, you're getting lots out of it. You're actually understanding. But I know, but your book is not totally about anxiety. There's loads of other things that happen to you in your life. It just seems to be like a Gavin Oates life story.
Do you know? It is. I don't even have a life story in me yet. I don't.
Because I love the story about when you enter the beard competition for a man who has anxiety and all. Do you remember you did that?
This is the other side. So I do some really bizarre stuff, which to me is not bizarre, but people keep telling me it's bizarre. And so in 2007, I discovered that the World Moustache and Beard Championships were coming to Troon. not coming to Troon, that's where I'm from. Coming to the UK. And they were going to be held in Brighton. And I couldn't believe this was even a thing. It happens every 2 years. It's in a different country every 2 years. And apparently hundreds of people turn up with the most extraordinary beards. And I thought, I'm going to enter. The biggest problem was I didn't have a beard or a moustache. And the competition... The competition was 90 days away.
Oh my God.
I set myself the challenge. I get coaxed into it by nobody, just my own brain. And I thought, I've got 90 days. I'm not going to shave. I'm going to enter a category called partial beard freestyle.
I love it. What is
that's
that?
Niche.
Which means you can, it's very niche. You can basically style it however you want. And I agreed I was going to do this. I would style it the night before the competition, and however it ends up, that's what I enter with. And initially, I wanted to shave the word beard into my beard, and like the sideburn would be the top of the B, and the other sideburn would be the part of the D, and my mouth would be the whole of the A. And then I was worried that in the mirror, I would get it back to front, and it would say bread. So I decided I would just create some masterpiece, and the next morning, I went on stage in front of like 2,000 people or something. It was like Crofts for Humans. And I strangely, bizarrely came fourth in the world.
Oh my God. Well
done. Congratulations.
And was there any anxiety when you were getting up on that stage or none?
Do you know the weird thing about that? So I don't know if you.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Experience this, Jason, but on stage, the anxiety's not there. This is the weird thing I don't know if this is the immediacy of a live audience and being in that moment. I did the Fringe in Edinburgh for years as part of an act called The Colour Ham, and we were up for awards and all sorts, and that hour on stage is the most confident, the most relaxed, the most present I can possibly be. The day building up to it, it feels horrendous. A few hours after it, I feel great. And then the next morning I wake up feeling horrendous again.
I think because anxiety, for me with anxiety is I'm trying to preempt things.
Exactly.
So once I'm in it.
You're in the moment. As you said, Gavin, it's the immediacy of the live experience.
Well, it's so that, and it's, you know yourselves when people talk about things like mindfulness and, it is, they talk about the present and they talk about being in the now And albeit everybody's talking about it and everyone's saying it, it's so real. But that's the hard bit. That's the challenge, is being able to switch off to the future and switch off to the past. Yeah. And you know, stressing yourself out about stuff that may or may not even happen. But yeah, once I'm on the stage, whether it's doing the crazy beard competitions, whether it's giving keynote speeches in front of thousands of people, whether it's doing gigs in clubs, once I'm on there, I just feel, I feel amazing.
Yeah, I'm the same actually.
And with the keynote speaking, what is that, Gavin? What do you do with that? Is that like, so it's like a motivational speaking? Is that what that is?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's inspirational speaking. It's very much not the sort of, I guess, that stereotypical motivational speaking that you maybe see on the TV and hear about and so on. But it is inspirational speaking. And I get booked to speak at conferences and exhibitions all over the world. A lot of big organisations book me to speak at their annual conferences. And I work with some really interesting organisations, from the NHS to Nike. We work with companies like Rolls-Royce. We work with little 2-3 man and woman companies. And the goal for me is to make sure I turn up and absolutely blow them away and have everybody walking out the door absolutely buzzing.
So it's just a well-being, feel-good type of session?
Yep. A big part of my talks are getting people to think back to when they were 5 years old.
Oh my God.
You know, the way you got out of your bed in the morning and how everything was exciting. And
Yeah,
that enthusiasm, that energy, that passion, just simply for the day. I refer to it as that wee piece of magic. It sounds a bit corny, but it's that thing that young kids have. You see it in young kids every single day. And, I've got two young kids and I cannot believe how excited my wee girl is every single day about every single thing it's about. And, at school, when, I'm not sure what it's like everywhere else in the world, but in Scotland, when it rains, which is often, there's a different bell rings in the school, which means it's a wet playtime, it's a wet interval.
Oh,
and in my daughter's mind, that doesn't mean we're staying indoors because it's terrible weather. In her mind, that means, where's my wellies? Let's get outside. Oh. And I love that way of thinking.
So it's encouraging play in adults. Is that what you're doing?
Definitely. Yeah. I'm a massive fan of playfulness in the workplace. And, people think that's really weird and bizarre. And, I get whole companies playing games of hide and seek and tag. And people think it's so bizarre and weird. But when they do it, they're absolutely buzzing. Playfulness, when you break it down, it's imagination, creativity and innovation. And if you remove those three things from any business, relationship, life, then we've got a very mundane world on our hands, and there's an awful lot of people out there need lifted out of the mundane right now. And I'm a firm believer that, rediscovering that inner child and getting back to finding out what it's like to play again is key.
Yeah, I mean, I find that as well. I mean, that's kind of what I do on stage when I do my stand-up. Do you know what I mean? I love playing with the audience. It's when I get my best feeling. When I get people up on stage, they're like, oh my God, they're like kind of nodding no, but I can see in their body like they'll be okay. And then once they're up there and they're like in a box, I'm dragging them around, they're like quite happy.
They love it.
they're smiling. Yeah.
Well, that's it. You give them the opportunity. Once they're in it, it's amazing how people respond. Adults, should I say, respond to those moments of play. I mean, you think back to when you were 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 years of age, the most natural thing in the world was to want to go and call in for a friend, to go and ring the doorbell and say, you're coming out to play. How many people call in for a friend anymore? Normally now you have to message them first to see if it's okay to call in for them.
Yeah, play dates. Play dates are ruining the world. Do you know what I mean? That's it. We have to get seven kids all in one car and bring them all down like two doors. We used to walk about 4 miles and then we'd knock at the door. Is Carl in? No. Okay, thanks. Go all the way back home again.
But that was part of the magic. Are they in? Are they not in? I think, kids nowadays, I remember I gave a talk, I do a lot of talks in schools as well, and I was speaking to a group of youngsters who must have been about 11, and I said something along the lines of, I'm old enough to remember what it was like to have no mobile phone. And they thought this was hilarious, but the first question I got was, but how did you speak to your friend?
Yeah, exactly. I was like, with my mouth
with her face,
to his face.
Yeah, with her face. Yeah, with our faces, and it was it's a different world now. And of course, you've got a generation coming through who they know how to communicate with their thumbs. You know, we imagine how many miles we've scrolled with our thumbs. In a million years from now, you know, our thumbs will be massive. You know,
and our eyes.
Five million years will be thumbs that just roll about on the ground with screens for faces and none of us will be able to look each other in the eye.
Lovely
it's
image.
Well scary.
Yeah. You know what, Gavin, just kind of wrapping all this up, right? This is a few things that like have come out to me. One of the lines you said, if I was a 90s wrestler, I'd be the ultimate warrior. That was one of your lines,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And you talked about as well, you know, talking about the, you know, the 5-year-old you kind of giving up that opportunity to go on stage or having to give it up due to your fear and then turning down lots of other opportunities in the interim until when you were in university, I think it was, you know, you kept turning down these opportunities and then eventually you got up and did it. And I love that line you said, if you're faced with an opportunity that's both terrifying and amazing, you should really go for it.
Yeah. So, and I just wish I had. I don't know if I have regrets, but I wish I had maybe understood that a little bit earlier on. Because I, as you said, I, from the age of 5 to about 17, 18, every opportunity to be on stage or to speak out loud in class, even something simple like that, I tried my best to get out of it.
Yeah.
And I was a kid that went bright red and felt really sick and everybody took the mickey out of me.
Do you remember the moment when you just said, like when you, I suppose you changed how you were thinking about that? Was there a definitive moment or a thought that helped?
Well, there was a couple of moments. So I trained as a primary school teacher at university.
Oh, right.
So I had no choice but to get up in front of 30 children one day.
Isn't it really weird that you're constantly trying to get on stage and in front of people, but you're quite anxious about it all?
Yeah.
It's like you're punishing yourself. Do you know what you're doing? You're doing that Scottish-Irish thing. Oh, you don't like that, do you not? You don't like that? Well, you can get out there now and you can do it. You can get there. Yeah. And you know what you'll do? You'll train for it as well. And you'll hate every day because you know you're going to stand in front of a class.
And you'll have to pay the fees to go and do it as well.
Isn't it amazing? Though? So you battled and battled and battled all the time.
Yeah. But every time I got up there, I felt amazing. So,
yeah. So it was just the prelude or the kind of thoughts of it were worse than...
Yeah, that's...
Yeah.
That's
it's a bit like when you're with your first girlfriend and then you realise, that's only a bra. That's grand.
That's exactly what it's like.
Oh, thank God. Because so anxious going, oh my God, where's the buttons? Where's the buttons? Where's the things? Boing. Oh.
They're not buttons. Anyway.
Oh, yes,
what kind of bras were you opening?
Very big ones.
I've got no idea how to respond to that now.
I know.
No, but you kept going with all that. You're obviously trying to deal with that anxiety, Gavin. Do you know what I mean? So how did you eventually, you would have to quash it somehow. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think, so there's been moments in my life where I can go months, maybe even a couple of years where there is no anxiety or very low level anxiety. But actually, around about March 2018, I realise now, I was going to say I had a 3-month spell, but I realise now it was probably 9 months leading in, and I'm probably still on my way out of it at the moment. But sort of March, April, May of 2018, I had a run-in with my new best friend, Anxiety, who I hadn't seen for a while. And I found myself sleeping probably on average, I know because we tracked it, but for about 20 minutes a night for 3 months at one point.
Oh my gosh.
And I have a caffeine allergy, and yet I was having to get on stage every day, and I had to run my business, and I had to pretend everything was okay. Well, I didn't have to pretend, but I felt like I was having to pretend. And I found myself having to find so many different ways to hide it, to disguise it. But of course, there had to be a moment that came along that was going to help. And so there's a couple of things to answer your question. I realised that I hadn't been running as much as I had been. I had run a marathon a couple of years before, and I trained really hard for that. Never felt happier. Running is an amazing thing. And then I realised I had not really been doing that. And I found that my own mental health at that point was taking a real dip. However, the other thing that kind of struck me was I read a book called The Happiness Trap. And, at the height of my anxiety in that moment, you know, sleeping very, very little. I was lying in my bed, eyes wide awake, you know, desperately trying to sleep. And, you know, at this point, I'm having thoughts like I'm never going to be able to sleep again. And I would just be focusing on that. But then the book kind of trained me to change my thinking to, I'm having the thought that I'm never going to be able to sleep again. And you would run that version of it, I'm having the thought that I'm never going to be able to sleep again. And for some bizarre reason, I very quickly felt a little lifting from the shoulders, just a wee bit of that feeling lifting. And then you do the same again, but this time you add in an extra little bit. You say to yourself, I notice I'm having the thought that I'm never going to sleep again. And again, there was just this further lifting. I can't think of any other way
it's
to
like
describe
a distancing
it.
And then again, almost, isn't it? From
do you know, that's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is. You start to feel that distance.
You're observing as opposed to being in it.
Yeah, I remember the author's name. It's Russ Harris. The Happiness Trap by Russ Harris.
Okay.
So it's about creating those stories in your mind and running new stories for yourself. And I think you have to practice it. It's like mindfulness. Do it once and put it, no, it doesn't be. You have to try it over and over again. And unfortunately, for people like myself who have anxiety, sometimes your daily story to yourself isn't very nice.
Yeah.
It can be quite unpleasant.
Sorry, what was the last thing you said there, Gavin? Cut across you, sorry. What was the last bit?
I was just saying the problem for many of us that experience anxiety is that sometimes our story that we run in our head is not always the happiest of stories. It can sometimes be quite unpleasant.
Yeah. And as you say, Gavin, like we spend so much time in our head, we really need to make it a nice place to be.
Absolutely, 100%.
Yeah.
Well, Gavin, listen, you know the way they say we're out of time. We're not really out of time, but we are. We have to finish. So, Gav, listen, thanks a million. Your book. When is your book out, The Life We'll See Now? What's the date?
So it is out in the shops and on all the big websites and all the wee websites, the independent shops, got to support them as well, 20th of February. And then I have my big launch at Waterstones in Edinburgh on the 25th. So super excited.
That's my birthday, Gavin.
Is it?
Yeah.
The 25th or the 20th?
25th. So there we go.
Come and have a party. Have a party at Waterstones in Edinburgh.
I should, really, shouldn't I? Well, listen,
you're more than welcome.
Thank you so much for, you're so good for talking so openly about the anxiety, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I actually now feel like I don't really have it.
You
think you're really, really sick and then someone goes, no, I'm really sick. You go, oh yeah, right, I'm not really sick at all. Thanks very much.
I can tell you this, this is actually the first time I have actually spoken about any of this publicly. I've written it in the book.
Wow.
I've never spoken about it on stage before, so all joking aside, I was actually a bit anxious about coming on to talk about this, it felt great talking about it. And again, it's funny listening to us, thanks. You know what? I'm going to go and read this book and hopefully it'll help me even again. Brilliant. Thank you so much, both of you, for the opportunity.
It's been a real honour, and it's a privilege to be, I don't know, the arena where you're kind of saying this publicly for the first time, because it takes huge courage, and your courage will help so many other people.
Brilliant. Thank you for the chat, guys. And I can't wait to hopefully meet you both at some point soon.
Yeah
and you know, I think I know you well enough, Gavin, to say I couldn't give a shite. No, because you're an Irish man, Scotsman.
Yeah.
Just pull your knickers up. Go out there and get a cup of tea. You'll be all right, Gavin. No, I'm only messing.
Brilliant. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll Gavin never come into your shows again.
But listen, I'll ring you soon, Gav. I'll see you soon, right?
Yeah, do it. Absolutely. Okay, can't wait. And we'll catch up soon. Thanks, both of you. Cheers.
Thank you so much, Gavin.
Good. Thanks,
bye-bye.
Gavin. See
take
you later,
care.
Man.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, take care.
Bye-bye, man. Bye-bye. Oh, what a great fella.
Oh, he's lovely.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I can't believe
you
said you didn't give a shite at the end there. That's terrible. Poor old
you
Gavin.
Said.
Yeah, no. So, I mean, the one thing that, oh my God, I don't even know. You see, this is the thing. We don't never have, it's like hours we need to talk to someone like that.
I know.
But there he is talking about his anxiety. And there's me now already just thinking, oh my God, I just kind of worry a lot about kind of this, that and the other. But his seems to be even deeper again.
Well, I'm not sure it's a matter of comparing, but it's even just the power in him talking about this. Like, I just think what he's just said there, this is the first time I've spoken publicly about this. Yeah. And it is in the speaking of it and the releasing of it that other people start feeling like I'm not on my own. And I mean, say, for example, with Turn to Me, our co-producers, that website has like a peer support group. So again, just putting in, I'm anxious or this is how I'm feeling, just saying it and releasing it is so healing, I think. It can bring down the anxiety.
I mean, yeah, I've learned that I love talking about stuff now like this. Like, I totally get it off my chest. Do you know what I mean? And
it normalizes it. But it's not about comparing your anxiety to his anxiety, because everybody's anxiety is their own. It is what it is.
Which is a good point, because I'd feel that maybe mine's not, you know, serious enough.
But that's you. That's your kind of, what's like a...
Oh, but listen, I'm telling my type of personality. Yeah. I'd be in World War II and my leg would blow off. And I'd be going, well, at least two of them didn't blow off. I've got one, so I better I can hobble back.
You know, right, that but you're expecting one to be blown off.
Oh, yeah, that'd be going
but
off.
Again,
that'd be
that, going remember those cognitive distortions again. Mm. So you're expecting this, it's like a negative bias, you know? Whereas Gavin was like, he was talking about like imagining himself on the stage and all the people looking at him. So he was going into the future instead of saying, yes, I'll be a mouse. And
so for everyday kind of 9-to-5ers that are listening in, that's them heading to work thinking that. Like the simplest thing. I'm going to an office, I'm going to have to get on the computer.
Like I remember when I was younger, even going into a shop, I had like huge social anxiety when I was a teenager. Having to get on a bus, having to go into a shop, I would be sweating, like physically feeling huge symptoms, but also the worry and imagining all, I don't know what I was imagining, but anything can provoke anxiety. Because it's not the situation, it's how we are thinking and how we are feeling about ourselves, really. That's the ultimate.
So, well,
that is anxiety.
Yeah, and trying to do too much in a day, I'd say that happens quite a lot to people. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Mammy's collecting the kids and everything, you know, the kids,
like
all
life
this
is so busy.
Trying to get to your job and then little, and then bang.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, help. Yeah. But one thing you said, which is really interesting, because that's happened to me, is that I was saying, how did you cope with it? Like, how did you quash it?
Yeah.
And he realised he hadn't ran for quite a while.
Yeah.
Because everybody has their different ways of dealing with stuff, but that's my one as well.
Yeah.
And that's definitely happened to me, where I hadn't trained for a while and I just started getting so angsty. I would do like a 20-minute run.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter what you can tell. You could tell me anything then.
Yeah.
I'll be fine.
And the thing, I just took back to that word, to quash or squash. Quash?
Well,
I
say quash.
You say quash?
Which is probably not a word.
Well, look, I'm all for creativity. But like, I don't know, I sometimes have an issue with that like idea of quashing anxiety, because we have to be kind of gentle with it. Like when we say, I know you're there, like what Gavin was saying, I notice that I'm feeling anxious, or I notice that I'm having trouble.
So you accept what's going on.
Exactly.
And just kind of put it to the side.
Well, we're just acknowledging it.
Yeah. And that's what my therapist would call tipping your hat at it.
Yes, exactly. So you're just kind of acknowledging it, but you're removing, so you're moving away from being in it to looking at it, to then there's a distance. So you're creating space between the kind of intensity of the anxiety and you. Do you know what I mean? So you're stepping back and you're observing.
So instead of trying to put loads of bodies in one grave, just spread them out.
I have no idea what that analogy means. But what? So basically, when you're running, you're regulating yourself.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? Physically,
totally.
You're regulating and you're in the moment, blah, blah, blah. Or what Gavin was saying, you know, that the thing that he got shared from the book, whereby you start talking to yourself, instead of saying, I am anxious, I can't sleep, I appear to be, all of these types of techniques. So there's loads of techniques. Yours is running, somebody else's, that mind self-talk could be the one, or a
meditation,
combination.
Meditation, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Cycling, walking the dog.
Yeah.
Watching 15 to 1 or Countdown, depending on how old you are.
Okay.
Or something like that.
Exactly.
Anyway, look, I think we've, I feel calmer now.
Good. He's a really nice guy. I just think, honestly, some of the stories in that book, they really spoke to me. I could imagine myself. So he is, I think a lot of people will relate to what he's saying.
Yeah, definitely get it when it comes out. Life Will See You Now.
Yeah.
Gavin Oates, 20 of the 2nd. 20. And I was about to do my date of birth, 25th of second, 72.
And that's when he's launching his book. 25th.
On the 25th. And then that Harris book, what was his name again? Russ Harris. That
Russ
sounded
Harris,
good.
Yeah.
The Happiness Trap.
Yeah.
I'm going to get that as well.
Yeah.
I think that's enough on anxiety now, is it?
Okay, Jason.
Well done, everybody.
Well done, everybody. Hope you enjoyed today's podcast.
I know, they're probably going, oh my God, I couldn't press the button properly. I was trying to press the thing and then I pressed button. Now we raised it. But if they ever raised it, they wouldn't know I've just said that.
Deep breaths. Go for a run.
Deep breaths, everybody.
Separate yourself from your anxiety. Everything is okay right now in this moment.
And more importantly, mind your loaf.
Mind your loaf.
See you later.
Bye.
Turn to Me provides professional mental health support.
Jason, do your, you know, your ad voice.
Oh, yeah, I'll do the ad. Okay, I'll do a proper ad thing. Okay, ready? Yeah. As a registered charity, Turn to Me provides professional mental health support online for anyone in Ireland going through a tough time. From one-to-one counselling to group and peer support, Turn to Me is accessible from any device anywhere in Ireland. If you would like to support Turn to Me, you can donate €4 by texting Turn to Me to 50300. Text costs €4. Turn to Me will receive a minimum of €3.60. Service provider like charity. Helpline 07 6 680 5278.
Is that you?
Yeah, that was actually me. Okay. There. You've been listening to Jason Byrne and Mara, and this is Mind Your Loaf. If you've enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and tell your friends to subscribe too.
And don't forget, if you or someone you know is going through a tough time, there is professional mental health support online, from counselling to support groups, all available for free for anyone in Ireland on turntome.ie.
Mind your loaves.
And mind yourselves.